All right, welcome. Today, it's our family day, so we have some children with us in here today. And this is a special day in the church. This is the day of Pentecost that we are celebrating today. We set up a little differently here, can you tell? And I suppose you're wondering why there are 12 chairs behind me. Any of the children in Children's Fellowship wonder what were there 12 of in the Bible? Disciples or apostles, that's right. And we're going to have a visit from the 12 apostles before the day's over with. Pretty exciting stuff here at Living Hope, and we're going to do this. But the day of Pentecost is a very unique time. Some people call it the birthday of the Christian church. Really, the church started with Jesus. Jesus has started it. Jesus gave the instructions in the Gospels. But something very unique happened. Jesus died, and then he did something that nobody has ever done before. He was raised from the dead, never to die again. And then he ascended into heaven at the right hand of God, which was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets about the Messiah. And then from that position of authority, he began directing his church by way of the Holy Spirit. And that direction, and that the beginning of that, was started at Pentecost. So it's a big deal. Just to give you an idea of how big a deal, we're going to read later that there were 120 disciples, followers of Jesus, at the time of the ascension. There were about 120 people. In one day, 5,000 people became disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to look at being endued with that power, which is going to enable us, still today, to bring this gospel message to the world. And so we're going to look at that a little bit about the day, and we're going to use some help with the kids, and we're going to have a visit from the 12 apostles. It's just too exciting. Okay, if you would take your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 1, and we'll begin looking at this record here in Acts chapter 1. We're going to try and have some verses up here on the board today. Dustin's been great. Oh, I think we had a little technical difficulty with the pictures of the race. Maybe after the fellowship we can play some of those. Or I think Dustin just didn't want us to see him running the race. He didn't like it. But I'm just kidding, Dustin. That was great. So maybe after the fellowship we'll get some of those pictures from the race on Thursday. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach." The first account. The writer of the book of Acts is also the same writer of the book of Luke. It's the man Luke. Luke wrote both the book of Luke and here he wrote the book of Acts. And that's the first account of Luke is the book of Luke. And now he says, in that record he began all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Verse 2. Until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. So, after the resurrection, Jesus was with his apostles for 40 days on earth in his resurrected body. According to Corinthians, he was seen by over 500 different people during that time in those 40 days. But he spent a lot of time with his 12, closest apostles, teaching them. And some of what Jesus communicated, we have written in some of the last chapters of the Gospels. If you want to see the things that are recorded of what Jesus communicated during these 40 days, you would want to read Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, and John chapters 20 and 21. Those chapters share the things that we have recorded of what Jesus spoke during these 40 days after his resurrected body. And then we have this record here in Acts chapter 1 of some of the other things that were spoken. And he communicated to his disciples, he commanded them things that they needed to know, things that they needed to understand. Now you would think, if he is going to leave this earth, right? If he is about to depart for the very last time until he comes back again that we know in the end times, do you think maybe he wanted to communicate something important during this time? Something that he would need his disciples to know about. Something that they would need to understand and comprehend as they went out into this world. And some of that is recorded. Luke chapter 40, chapter 24 records one of these things that Jesus commanded during this time. Luke 24, and in verse 49, Luke 24, verse 49, we have it here up on the chart. It says, "And behold," this is something that he talked about after his resurrection, "I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Wow. He says, I want you to go back to the city, and I want you to stay there until you're clothed with power from on high. I believe King James says endued with power from on high. It's the word, it means clothed with. And I think that's a pretty unique word about how this power was going to clothe them. Power, you know what it reminds me of? Now, some of you might remember Kent Clark, Clark Kent, right? Clark Kent, just a normal guy. But baby, when he puts on the S suit, right? He's clothed with power. Or how about Tony Stark? Tony Stark, scientist, right? But baby, when he puts on the suit of iron, he is now Iron Man, right? He's clothed with power. Or how about Bruce Wayne? Bruce Wayne, multimillionaire, just a business guy. But when he puts on the bat suit, right? He's Batman. So we understand this. He said, there's going to come, you're going to be clothed with power from on high. I love that analogy. It's a figure of speech, but what a beautiful figure where there's going to be a change, as Carrie's saying about. There's going to be a change in your life. You're going to be endued with, clothed with this power from on high. And he uses this word power. It's not like, he said, you're going to be clothed with a nice little thing, you know, to help you around. You're going to be clothed with power. That's significant. And it's not just any power. It's power from on high. That's power. And that's what happened at Pentecost. So let's read on. Let's go back to Acts. We're going to be mostly in Acts. We'll go to one more verse, but the rest of the time we're going to stay right here in Acts. So then we read here on in Acts, that record in Luke was probably shortly after the resurrection. Now here in Acts, we are at this 40 days after the resurrection. And he continues on talking about this endowment, this power that's coming. And he says in verse 4, gathering them together, again, these are the 12, these are the apostles whom he had chosen. These are his apostles whom he chose. He presented himself, gathering them together. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. Same thing we saw in Luke. He said, don't leave the city, right? Now he says he commands them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the Father, for what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard of me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Very similar thing to what we read in Luke, but this is written later. This is now 40 days later. He's telling them the same thing, but in another way. This is really unique, and I need some help with the children. Gianna, would you help me? I have to talk to Gianna. She's going to help me out here with the first sign. All right, I want you to come over here. You stand over here, and you hold up this sign. All right? Go ahead and stand up on stage. Okay. We saw, right, in Luke, clothed with power, right? And Noah, can you help me with this next one? All right. Now you go stand just this side of Gianna. Now, from Luke, it says it was clothed with power. This was the promise of the Father, right? So the clothed with power is this promise of the Father. That's what we read in Luke, right? Now we get more information here in the book of Acts. And I need one other chill. You want help? Okay. Here we go. What's your name? Nathan. That's what I was like. Oh. Didn't want to call you the wrong name. Nathan is got here. And here we saw in Acts, it says that the promise of the Father, and you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So to be clothed with power, which is the promise of the Father in Luke, is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit here in the book of Acts. So, putting this together, what is it that's going to clothe you, endue you with power? Holy Spirit. Very good, huh? Can you argue with that? It's great. Good job. All right. You guys did well. So that's how beautiful and simple that is. Put our signs down. So, this was what's going to happen. Now, let's look at verse 6. So, when they'd come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, you just read that, but I want to tell you, that little question, that is loaded with understanding of the Old Testament. The Old Testament talks of this coming kingdom of God. It talks of the time when Israel is going to be restored to the nation that God called it to be. It talks of a time when Zion is going to rule and where the Messiah will rule from Zion. Here, Jesus was now raised from the dead. And his apostles are saying, is this the time? It makes sense, right? Is this when it's going to happen? Is it now? This is it, boy, you're going to rule. You know, the nations are going to come. Is this the time when you're the king? Remember, when he was coming to Jerusalem, right, on the donkey, they were putting palm leaves down, saying, behold, Hosanna to the King of David. They thought this was the time. Here he is. He's coming down. And then he was crucified. But then he got raised from the dead. And so now they're thinking, this is it, right? Is this the time? Is this it? Is this when it's going to happen? There's more yet. There's more. Verse 7. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed in his own authority. God's got that under control. That's going to happen. But I want you to know about something else. Listen here. Something else is about to happen. Verse 8. But you will receive power. Again, clothed with what? Power. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. All right, so we know about Jerusalem, right? The city of Jerusalem. And all Judea, that's the Judeans were that one tribe that came out of Judah. They were the last standing tribe. They're the ones who were taken in captivity to Babylon, came back. All the region of Judea and Samaria. No, not Samaria. Samaria was the northern kingdom. They were taken into captivity to the Assyrians. And then the Assyrians intermingled. They brought in the gods of Assyria. So Samaritans were like half-breeds. It's like, what? Oh my gosh, the Samaritans are going to be in on this too. Wow. This is quite a revelation. He's not done yet. And even to the remotest parts of the earth. Whoa. Whoa. This is news. You know, in the Old Testament, Israel was a nation. They were to be a nation of priests. They would be examples. But now he's saying this power of the Holy Spirit is not going to have you just witness through the nations of Israel. This is going to enable you to take the gospel message to the entire world. Woo! That's what we're talking about. That with this endowment, with this power, they would be able to take and be a witness for Jesus Christ and the gospel message to the entire world. Wow. Good stuff, huh? Now, a similar instruction he said in John. I'd like to take you to this. Look at John. Keep a ribbon here or something, Acts, and go to John chapter 20. John 20. And here in John 20, verse 21. Now, where we're reading here in John, to give you what's happened here, here in John 20 is the day of his resurrection. Here in John 20, he came, the apostles hadn't seen him yet. They were hiding behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jews. He comes in the midst of them here in John 20, and he begins sharing. And this is something that he says on the day of his resurrection is when he spoke these words. So verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I what? I also send you." So here in John he says, just as God has sent me, I'm now going to send you. All right? Similar to what we read in Luke, that these were going to be a witness, right? You see that? I'm going to send you. Now, next verse says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit." Now, if you just read that in John and you didn't have the other records in Luke and Acts and Matthew and Mark, it sounds like right then and there he breathed on them and said, that they received the Holy Spirit right then. We know, though, from the other records, this Holy Spirit of promise that he actually talked about in detail in John 13, 14, 15, and 16 at the Last Supper, we know this is still future, where he said, wait until you be endued with this power. So this power from the verse 20 is what is going to enable them to go, as he went with the Father, I'm going to send you. That's what he said. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Meaning that Holy Spirit is the enablement to carry out what he had just said. That Holy Spirit is going to be how they are going to be doing it. Another way to take this is in the King James Version, you see this, is the word them in italics in King James? Anybody have King James Version?
Yeah, it
is. It's in italics. And the word on, end, could be in. So some texts don't have the word them. It could be that he breathed in and said, receive the Holy Spirit, meaning this is how I want you to receive it. In other words, an instruction. Breathe in, that's how you're going to receive. Either way you take that, the understanding is this Holy Spirit, it wasn't being given here on the day of the resurrection. He was instructing them, this is what you need. You receive the Holy Spirit. This is what's going to allow you to be as I was with the Father. This is what's going to allow you to take this gospel message to the world. Receive the Holy Spirit, and this is what will enable you to do these things. All right, back to Acts. Acts chapter 1 again. So he tells them they're going to receive this power, and in Acts 1, verse 9, those were the last. Now, you understand. Can we go back to verse 8? Dustin, is that easy? Verse 8. Now, listen to me. Listen. This right here, this is the last thing Jesus said on earth. Won't you think? If you're going to leave your disciples with parting words, I want to tell you one last time, one very, very important thing. And that you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Last words, verse 9. And after he said these things, he was lifted up. While they looked on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Woo! Parting words. Into heaven. And while they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? He didn't tell you to look into the sky. This Jesus, who has been taken up from you, will go into heaven, will come in the like way as you have watched him go into heaven. You know what he said, the things the angel said to him? He's coming back, boys. Jesus Christ is coming back. And the essence is, now go do what he said. Heed his instructions. Do what he said. Verse 12. And verse 12. And they returned to Galilee. Well, come on, am I following? They returned to where? Jerusalem. Someone from Children's Fellowship. Why did they go to Jerusalem? Why didn't they go back to Galilee? Anybody from Children's Fellowship? Anybody know? Any of you guys know why he went to Jerusalem? Anybody guess? Why do you think the disciples went to Jerusalem? Josh? Because that's what Jesus said, right? He said, don't leave Jerusalem. So, that's why they didn't go back to Galilee. They did what he said. Now, this was about 40 days after the resurrection. We know from the Old Testament that the day of Pentecost, it's the Feast of Pentecost, occurs 50 days after the offering during the Passover. So it was 50 days from that Sunday of the resurrection till Pentecost. So now for 10 days, wonder what that was like for those 10 days. He said, wait. Wait. I got trouble waiting for 10 minutes. Right? 10 days. They waited. Waited for something. He didn't even tell them what to wait for. He said, wait for the Holy Spirit. But, well, what's that mean? We don't have anything that shows that they knew exactly what was going to happen. This is great. Good stuff. So, verse 12. When they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away, verse 13. When they entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter and John, and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. There's only 11 listed here. Can anybody tell me who the 12th is that's not here? Judas Iscariot, right? Judas Iscariot committed suicide, and the next verses tell about that suicide of Judas Iscariot. But here it says that these disciples, these 12, abode in an upper room. This is where they lived. This is where the 12 lived. They lived in this upper room. Then it says in verse 14, these all, talking about the 12, with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. Now, it doesn't mean that they were continuing with prayer in the upper room where they lived. They were continually with them in prayer. Now, where did the Judeans go at the hours of prayer? They went to the temple in Jerusalem. So most likely, that's where they would have been gathering during these 10 days at the times of prayer with these women and with the disciples. Verse 15, at this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren. A gathering of about 120 persons was there. So we know at this time there were about 120. Maybe there were some more, but as far as those in Jerusalem at this time, there were about 120 disciples. The 12 stood, they were the ones teaching. And then, you read the record, Peter talks about the suicide that Judas committed, and then they want to replace him, and they cast lots, and the lots fall on one man. In verse 26, and they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. So now we have 12 apostles. Matthias was chosen by casting lots. And so those are now the 12 apostles as we go into chapter 2. All right? Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Now, I should tell you that a traditional view is that there are 120 people in an upper room that received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. A couple issues you have with that. The first one is, this was a place they abode. It's a place they lived. The upper room was where these guys slept. It was their sleeping quarters. When I was in Israel, they actually took us to that place they think was the upper room where they thought the Last Supper occurred, and then they think this is where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, the little room they have, it might look similar to the Da Vinci painting many years ago, but it really didn't look like it was really a good room for 120 people. Now, the other problem you have with this is we're going to see after this occurs here in Pentecost, a crowd gathers, people from all nations under the world. Peter preaches, and 5,000 people believe. Now, there's no way 5,000 people are in the upper room. Also, you're going to find here that it was at an hour of prayer. It was at the third hour of the day, which translates to about 9 a.m. in the morning. It was an hour of prayer. The place that they would naturally have gone to at that time of day would have been the temple. In fact, we're going to read later in chapter 3, verse 1, that at the ninth hour of prayer, they were going to the temple for the hour of prayer, and they met the man lame during that, while they were going to the temple for the hour of prayer. So most likely, it was at the temple. And the they here most likely is referring back to the last verse of verse 1, the 11 plus Matthias, which would be 12. Although the 120 may have been present here, I think from the record you'll see that the 12 were the ones that originally received the Holy Spirit, because later it says Peter standing up with the 11 gives his voice. So it makes sense that the 12, I think the 120 may have been here as part of the prayer, but the 12, and also in all the records where Jesus gave instruction that we read about, it was to the 12. It wasn't to all his disciples. It was to his 12 apostles that he gave the instructions about the receiving of this Holy Spirit. So most likely this is the 12 that we're talking about here. And the one place is most likely the temple, because as the record unfolds, I said 5,000 people are going to be here when it all is said. At least 5,000. 5,000 believed. How many were that didn't believe, right? So there could have been a lot of people there. Then verse 2 says, "And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And appeared to them tongues as a fire distributing to them, and they rested on each of them." And verse 4, "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance." Wow. That's the record on the day of Pentecost. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to say before I continue on this, it doesn't say that they were jumping around and hollering, "Woo-hoo-hoo!" with, you know, with raising holy hands and dancing around. They were sitting. They were sitting. It was a time of prayer. They were sitting, and God did this amazing thing. And while they're sitting, they are inspired. And, you know, if Jesus did tell them to breathe, I mean, they heard this wind. They saw tongues of fire. And then they just started speaking in tongues. Spirit filled them. Woo, boom. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They started speaking in tongues. What a day this was. Now, to help us do this and show you this great event, we have the 12 apostles here today. Now, these are actually actors. And I must tell you, these are really good actors. Because we don't even have makeup or costumes. No beards. They're going to portray this so well with their ability. They're just going to be dressed as they are, and the acting is just going to come through with such incredible truth. Just an amazing thing. And also, I'm being kind to them, because in the East, they probably sat cross-legged on the floor. We're being nice to our actors. We're giving them a chair to sit on, so we thought that would be nice. So as I call the name of the apostle, please, you know who you are. Peter. Now here comes Peter. Yay! Peter. and John. Peter and John. John. And James. James. James, the brother of John, the sons of Zebedee. And Andrew. That's Simon Peter's brother, Andrew. Andrew. Oh, there's Andrew. Andrew's coming over from that side. And Philip. Philip. Who's Philip? Ah, Philip. There's Philip from the back of the room. Philip. Okay. Thomas. He was doubting Thomas at first, but then he saw the hands, and Thomas then believed. Yes. Thomas. Bartholomew. Bartholomew. Ah, there's Bartholomew. All right. Matthew, the tax collector. A publican. He was kind of outcast, but Matthew believed. He wrote the book of Matthew. James, the son of Alphaeus. Ah, James, the son of Alphaeus. Simon, the zealot. Oh, the zealot. Simon. Simon was very zealous. Judas, the son of James. Now, that's not Judas Iscariot. This is Judas, the son of James. And I could tell you that in the other Gospels, you'll see Judas was Thaddeus was his name. But it's believed that Judas, this Judas, actually wrote the book of Jude, is what it's commonly believed. Don't know whether that's right or not, but just a little insight for you on the 12. So there were 11, but then they realized we're short one. And so they cast lots. I should have given you guys like dice or something. They cast lots, and it fell on Matthias. So Matthias got in. Then we had Matthias. So then we had the 12. Now, I need all the children from Children's Fellowship to help us here. If you guys can all come up with Miss Rose, all you guys from Children's Fellowship, I want to be a part of this. This is pretty exciting. You guys are a big part of this to make this happen. You guys can come up. You guys want to come up? You don't have to come up if you don't want to. Just if you want to. And we got Miss Priscilla, Miss Rose, and maybe some of you are going to have to take. Okay. Now, you don't see the children, okay? Pretend like they're not there. It's very important for the visual here, okay? So all you children can sneak down behind. This is pretty exciting stuff. All right, so it was an hour of prayer. It's the day of Pentecost. Day of Pentecost. Pentecost was one of the major feasts in Jerusalem. Thousands, every male was supposed to come to Jerusalem during the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So there would have been literally thousands and thousands of people coming to Jerusalem at this feast time. And they would go to the temple at the time of prayer. They're in the prayer. They're in the state of prayer. They're praying. And then suddenly, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Doesn't say they felt a wind. Pretty impressive, huh? And then, tongues as a fire came down. Sat upon each of them, and they breathed in, and okay, and the people in the were. What's going on here? All the people were amazed. You kids can come down and sit in front if you want. You can hold on to your signs. You can come on and go ahead. You can come sit right down here in front. So you guys can take after the fellowship. You guys can come and get your signs. Yeah, you can just sit right down here. Just come and sit right along here. Just sit here. So you guys are all part of this. Now you guys are part of the audience. Okay. Huh? Was that impressive or what?
Yeah.
That was Day of Pentecost. Now, and you guys can read, we have the verse up. Verse 5. After this event, it says in verse 5, now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. Here, devout men from every nation. And when this sound occurred, that's what we just saw. There was the sound of the wind. There were these tongues like as a fire. And there was this speaking in tongues that came forth. The crowd came together. They all said, what's going on here with this group here? We got some type of cult going on? What's happened here? They were bewildered because each of them was hearing them speak in their own language. And verse 7 says, they were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it, verse 8, that we hear them in our own tongue, in the language to which we were born? Now, I've thought about this. I think there was time that went in. I think this got everybody's attention. But I want you guys to do something. You guys all have a favorite verse, you 12 apostles? You have a favorite verse of Scripture you have memorized? Everybody got a verse of Scripture you could say? Okay, now, as loud as you can say it, on the count of three, I want you guys to all say in English your favorite verse. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay. Now, here's my issue. Let alone they're all speaking English just then. It sounded like speaking in tongues, didn't it? Couldn't understand anything they said. So I think maybe there was something that we don't really see in the details here of inspiration. I have a feeling something. After they got their attention, I think like maybe Peter was inspired and he spoke in tongues. And then I think Judas was inspired and he spoke in tongues. And then Matthew spoke like so then you could understand them. Because otherwise, how would the people say that they got anything out of it, right? I think there was something that happened inspired that each of these men spoke forth. And when they spoke forth, well, let's go to what it says. Let's go to verse... Verse 11. Cretes and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God. Over 17 different nations are listed here between these verses of people who were Jews who were actually born in another country, but this time in history the Jews had moved back into Jerusalem. But they said, that's the language where I was born. So like the ones from the Medes and Elamites, they would have spoken probably some type of Arabic, of that, an ancient Arabic at that time. Those from Egypt probably grew up where they spoke a Coptic language. Those in Rome probably spoke Latin. And here each of these Galileans stood up and they spoke, and these people from these that were born in these other languages said, whoa, that's the language I was born. And what they were speaking was the wonderful works of God. One verse says, the mighty things that God has done. It would have been like the book of Psalms in different languages. The Lord is great. The Lord is mighty. The Lord has visited his people. The Lord is the creator of heaven and earth. The Lord delivered his people. The Lord has sent forth his son Jesus, the Messiah. Could you just hear it? And they spoke these in these other languages and it got people's attention. What a great day. What a great day and outpouring. You see, God doesn't... when the Ten Commandments... Remember the Ten Commandments? The mountain quaked. It was on fire. And God came down and gave the Ten Commandments. Right? Remember that? When they dedicated the tabernacle, fire of God came down from heaven and accepted the sacrifice. When they dedicated the temple under Solomon, same thing. They had a big praise, a big time of worship, and then the fire of God came down in front of everybody and consumed the sacrifice. And here on this great event, God sent a rushing mighty wind, cloven tongues like the fire, sat on each of them, and they spoke in tongues to all these languages of the world. What a great day in history to inaugurate the Holy Spirit given, that now this message of the gospel is to go out to all the world, starting with these 12. It started with these, that it was to go out to all the world. Now, look at verse 12. And they all continued in amazement with great perplexity. And they said to one another, "What does this mean? I don't get it." But others were mocking and saying, "Ah, they're full of sweet wine. They're drunk." Verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11. I should have Peter stand up. Peter's taking his stand. All right, that's good. You can sit back. But see that? Peter stood up. Now, you read that and say, yeah. Just a minute. Let me take you back. 50 days earlier, Peter couldn't even acknowledge that he knew Jesus. He couldn't even tell a maid at the gate that he knew the man. On the day of the resurrection, these men were behind closed doors for fear. On this day, in front of all these Jews, Peter stands up. What happened to him? He was changed. He was changed with the power of God through the Holy Spirit. He was clothed with power. Power from on high. It changed him. It changed him. And now he had the boldness and the conviction to carry out this gospel message delivered to us from our Lord. And he gives the first sermon, and he says in verse 14, "Men and brethren, all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day." It's an hour of prayer. "But this is that which was spoken through the prophet Joel." And now he just speaks out the prophecy of Joel and then how this is a fulfillment of that prophecy. Where did he get that boldness? Where did he get that wisdom? Whoa! He's got the Spirit. Jesus, now by way of the Spirit, is directing Peter. He's guiding him through that Holy Spirit that he now has. Look at verse 22. "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus of the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you ought yourselves know. This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power." Whoa, what boldness! He tells them, "You guys, when he was there, you Jews, you know what you were saying? You were jumping in and saying, 'Crucify him.' You were saying, 'Crucify him.' I'm here to tell you, he got raised from the dead." Whoa! Where'd Peter get that boldness? To stand in these people, the same people who had Jesus crucified. And he's standing there telling them, "You killed him. He's in me now. The Spirit of God is now in me." Whoa! We need to be filled with Spirit. It gives you power. It gives you a guide in this life. To be able to carry this gospel message to the world. We need this. We need this in our lives. Look at verse 36. Can we have it? Verse 36. He says in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. They have made this Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Messiah." Whew. Verse 37, "When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart." You know why they were pierced? It was the truth. He spoke the truth. It pierced them to the heart. And he said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, they talked to these 12 and said, "Men and brethren, what are we going to do? What should we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You too can be endowed with power from on high, clothed with the Spirit. And then it says, verse 39, for the promise is for you. That day he was speaking to people of Judean, Jews only. There in Jerusalem on that day, we'll learn later, over 5,000 of these Jews believed. But he said, the promise is for you. That's not us. And your children. So those people there that were that day, he said, it's to you and it's to your children. We're still not in yet. And for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. I was afar off. I don't know about any of you. Afar off in an ancient land, in an ancient time, thousands of years later. But it's for you. The gift of Holy Spirit to be endued with power from on high is for each and every person. And we saw the purpose of this message. It's for the gospel to get out. It's so we can get the gospel out to the world. It's so we can be a witness of the resurrected Christ. It's not for our own selfish gain. It's for His glory. It's for His praise. That we can have this Spirit within us to move this gospel message, to reach out to the unsaved and bring them to the truth. You know, Jesus said in the Gospels, you see, I believe this is for everybody. I don't think the Holy Spirit's only for a limited few. I don't read that. I read it's for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God has called. And if He's called you, it's for you. And if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, if you want to make Jesus Lord, you can have this empowerment. You can be clothed with that Spirit today. And He said in Luke, He said, if a man asks bread, would a father give him a stone? He says, if he asks an egg, would he for an egg give him a scorpion? If you're men, and if you know how to give good gifts, and you're evil, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? All you got to do is ask. Make Him Lord of your life. Believe that God raised Him from the dead and ask. And He will come to you. He will abide in you. And you can be clothed with this Spirit that is freely available to every person. So I'd like to pray for that right now. Heavenly Father, we truly thank You, God, for Your grace and Your mercy. We thank You for Your goodness. God, I ask You right now that You would fill us with Your Spirit. As they prayed in Acts 4, that signs and wonders can be done through the name of Your holy child, Jesus. God, that we could have the words to speak. That You would give us guidance so that we can get this gospel message out. God, we want to grow our church. We want to reach out to them. We don't know how. We ask You to fill us with Your Spirit this day. Guide us, direct us, help us, so that we can reach out to the unsaved, that we can bring this gospel message to the furthest parts of the earth. God, I ask You today to fill us with Your Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. They go on from here and they are filled with power. It says in verse 43 here that everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. It goes on now in chapter 3. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a woman who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us! And he began to give his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I don't possess silver and gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he seized him by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, He stood upright, began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God.